What's up, everybody? It's Sam with Rowdy Alternative, and today we're with Jeremy Pinnell. How are you, man?
Good, man. How are you?
Doing good, doing good. I had you on a while back. It's been, hell, it might have been like a year and a half now, so it's good to get you back on, especially after your album that just dropped last month, which we'll definitely get into. But I guess before we get too far along, just let us know what you've been up to recently, dude. Like I said, your album just dropped. You've been busy with shows. I saw you were out with Bolin for a while, too.
Yeah. We just got back this past Sunday, from Flagstaff to all the way up to Seattle and back to Phoenix, you know, and then we flew home. And it was great. It was great being able to be around Jason and his crew. They're such like respectable guys, like just the nicest guys you ever hung out with, you know. Mm-hmm. And really just to be around professionals, you know, it's just always great. So
yeah, I feel like Jason and like very underrated and has been around forever. I mean, the red dirt scene out in Oklahoma, he was like one of the guys, you know, when that was really
the guy, in my opinion.
He is the guy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I guess just to go like a little bit more into that, like how was that being out there? I'm not sure if you were in Oklahoma or Texas itself. I know you mentioned Arizona, but that mm-hmm. crowd out there, did you guys like kind of slide into that audience pretty well? Were they pretty receptive?
Yeah, I think Jason's, the people that go see Jason, I think they like honest music. I think they like good songwriting. Like, so it's just kind of perfect. I mean, when you got, I feel like a lot of Oklahoma, Texas, like a lot of that, the whatever you want to call it, scene or whatever, people in that part of the country, and I know it's all over this country, but they really enjoy like culture, art, music. So it's just a good group of people, and I always enjoy playing in those crowds, and it just kind of fits naturally. Like you don't have to force it if you're creating something good, you know.
Yeah, and you kind of hit it on the head there where it is about the art and the culture and the Texas scene. Like, I mean, one of my favorite things about it is that it's not like just one style, not just one sound, and it all like manages to, you know, be a package deal, I guess. So that's why I figured that your sound, which is unique in itself, like had to have been cool for some new listeners out there to hear that.
Yeah, it was great. The crowds were great. The people were real respectful, and yeah, we had a great time.
Right,
California
on, man.
Was great. I love California. No matter what anybody says, California is awesome, you know. Don't listen to nobody.
That's awesome, man. But yeah. Heck yeah. So I saw the South Gatehouse show. Hell, man, it's about to be a month already, I think, since
it's wild, isn't it?
Yeah. And loved it. We just had Christina Vane on.
She's great, isn't she?
The other night. Yeah, fantastic, man. And great little
She's
album.
She's one of the chillest people. She's so chill.
It was crazy.
Yeah, it's awesome. And she's so talented. It's like, how can you have, like, usually you got some talented person and they're complete, like, jerk or something. Yeah. But she's, like, the complete opposite, you know?
Right. Yeah, man. But that show was great. If you want to, like, talk about maybe a little bit how, like, because obviously you're from around, I'm from Northern Kentucky too. Mm-hmm. So, and I know the South Gatehouse has a special place in your heart. You're here at least once every year, I feel like, right? Mm-hmm. Probably more than that.
Yeah, we try to like at least play around here once a year. And Morella's just always been helpful in like musicians getting somewhere around here, you know, and mm-hmm. she's always pushing for somebody, and they're just good people, and I love being surrounded by good people, you know. So
for sure. And the venue itself, like whenever I talk to artists that aren't from around here, like it really is like a hidden gem around here. Mm-hmm. The South Gatehouse is, I don't think I've never been to a place like it.
Yeah. We, when the Southgate house was across from the levee where the Thompson house is now, we were just young kids, and we, Morella's dad would allow us to have punk rock shows there on Sundays, you know, cause we were 18, whatever, like, you know, so we were young kids hanging out there, you know. The levee wasn't even there at the time.
Yeah.
It was just like, a couple houses, maybe some empty lots or something, you know?
Yeah.
So it's been a big part of my life, you know?
For sure. And it's cool to see I think the scene around Cincinnati itself, I think is growing more, in my opinion, just from like going to shows. So that's also kind of cool to see. Like with a lot, no one really like you talk to people from like Nashville or something. They usually don't think of like Cincinnati, like the music scene there, what's that like? But like, it is cool because it is different. Like the punk rock stuff, like that's still going on, and all that kind of stuff. It's pretty cool to watch.
Yeah, you got really good punk rock bands around here. There's a band called Bad Man, I think. Mm. And they're just like, it's just the kind of punk rock you want to listen to, you know, and they're young kids and it's just, you know. There's a lot of good music around here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%.
A lot of great musicians too, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, man. So let's talk about Decades. Came out Halloween, I think it was. And loved it right off the bat. It was fantastic. I think it might be my favorite of yours so far.
Thank you.
And I guess first off, just to start out, were you pretty happy with the reception and the fan reaction and everything?
Yeah, everything. People seem to be liking it. We put a lot of hard work into it, you know. And Sofa Burn Records has been great, and I don't know. I think the reception's been great. We weren't trying to do anything that was. We were trying to do something different. And I think it's a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think when I look at all your albums that you put out, well, each release really, it is, you stay consistently like your own style, but it is different with each one. It has a different aesthetic, I guess, I hate to use the word vibe, but that is kind of how it feels like it's a different vibe with each record. Yeah. And is that something that comes natural to you when you approach each record that you have, like, let's go for this sound, let's go for that sound? Or is it pretty natural? Like, it just kind of comes out of you.
Yeah, it is. It's not an intentional thing. I never write from an intentional place, really, like as far as like genre specific or anything. I'm just writing what I like to hear. So if there's a hook or a line, it's not like I'm trying to write a certain way. It's just what comes out, and that's the way I've always been. So I'm not a super intentional guy when it comes to that, but like maybe lyrically or something, I, you know, mess around with some words or something.
Yeah. And maybe I'm just looking too deep into it. I don't know. It could just be me, but I feel like this record in particular, like, it's the hooks are very like earworms. Like they really hit you. You know what I mean? Like the choruses and everything in it and whatnot. Good. So yeah, it was pretty cool.
Yeah, but, thank you. I'm glad it came. I'm glad to hear that, because like a lot of those things, I felt like I heard the hooks, but mm-hmm. I wasn't sure other people, you know, you never know if other people hear them, you know?
Yeah, 100%, man. So I get also you worked with a Shooter Jennings, and can you just give us the backstory on how that all came to be and how you got in touch with him and everything?
Yeah, that was a really neat kind of little story. It was, I think it was 2022, maybe. We were at Beachland Tavern in Cleveland, and okay, I like playing music, but this, you know, everything was up 30, 40, 50%, and we were just, eating it on the road. And I was kind of like, you know, I don't know. I'm kind of like done, you know? And a woman was there by the name of Angela Backstrom, and she does radio PR. And she asked if there was a producer I wanted to work with. And I just was recently listening to, at that time, that Yellow Wolf record, the Yellow Wolf Shooter record. And it's such a great record. I was like, man, this is incredible. Mm-hmm. Like, and I've heard stuff that Shooter's produced before, or had a hand in. I don't know the extent of, I knew records that he's done. Some of that Brandi Carlile stuff really hit home for me personally. And then that Yellow Wolf record, I was like, this is incredible. And then I was always a big fan of Shooter in the first place. Like, I still, one of my favorite EPs to this day is that Don't Wait Up record. And, you know, the Countach record, I'm just such a huge fan of that record. And I mean, all his stuff, really. This was all crazy, just prefacing it with that, like me just being a huge fan, you know. And then I told her, she asked if there was a producer I'd want to work with, and I said Shooter Jennings. And she goes, oh, I know his manager. And so that kind of was the, like, a little bit of a start. And then the guy I was touring with, Mike Giacalino, who's in a band called Highways out in Seattle, he's incredible. He was playing bass. He used to guitar tech for Brandi Carlile. And he's friends with the twins, Tim and Phil. And so I know they were hanging out with Shooter during that time. So he was kind of putting a bug in their ear. And then my buddy Scotty in LA had a engineer that worked at a studio Shooter worked at. So we had, you know, that bug. And then Keith Neltner does a lot of art for Shooter, and he lives in Camp Springs, and he did the record Ties of Blood, the artwork. And so we had all these people like coming from different angles, you know. And I got home one day and I put my phone on the charger. I get home from work and I go to cut the grass, and I went outside, cut the grass, come back in, looked at my phone, and I got a text from Shooter. It said, hey, Jeremy, I love the last record. I would love to do the next one with you. And I ran out to my wife. I was like, look at this, dude. I get a text from Shooter, you know? Yeah. This is like just out of, you know, whatever. And so that kind of started it. And, you know, and then we started figuring out dates to go into the studio. And then I think it was almost a year later, maybe not. My timeline's so messed up. I'm an idiot when it comes to timelines.
Me too. You're good.
All right. And then, you know, and the next thing I know, I'm flying into LA by myself. I didn't take a band with me because I wanted to make Shooter's record, you know. I wanted to use his guys because I've made my records and I've done records with people, but I wanted to make a record with him, you know. And and I walk in the studio, and around comes a corner Shooter, you know. And it's just like, and I couldn't ask for a better guy to work with, honestly. Yeah. As far as genuine people, he's about it. And he's the kindest, you know, he's just a great human being. And I was just really lucky that I got to spend that time, you know, hang out with him. So,
yeah. And he's a guy, like, I've never heard a bad thing about him, like, professionally and as a person. Like, like, you were kind of talking about it there, how it was just you who went and flew out and worked with him. And I feel like, especially with a guy like Shooter, it's like, was most of the thought process is like, all right, I'm going to let him take the wheel for the majority of this, like, in the studio and everything. Like, I'm sure you had kind of your hand in it, maybe, like, or was it pretty much all him?
Yeah, I didn't want to get in the way. Mm-hmm. It's like going to a tattoo artist and being like, do it this way. Yeah. You know, it's like, you're just going to get some bullshit. But it's like, you go in that way you just kind of just take your hands off of it and be like, I'm just going to let him do whatever, and I'm going to let whatever happen, whatever, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a good approach for me. It's because, yeah, like I said, I made my records. Like, I don't, you know,
mm-hmm.
I would, yeah, just, same with Jonathan Tyler for Goodbye LA. I was like, I'm going in here with Jonathan, and I'm going to let Jonathan make the record, because I'm, yep, just, you know, and it worked out better than I could have imagined, you know? So it's like, yep, why not do that every time? Just let the world take care of it, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And I'm sorry if this comes out a little convoluted. I'm going to try and not, you know, stumble over my words. But when you are in the studio or just writing in general, is there a certain point, whether it be like one song or the album, like in its entirety, to where you're like, okay, now it's finished. Like this is all I could put, I want to put into it. Is it kind of hard for you to like maybe overdo anything like on a song, or is it, or so are you ever in your head like, man, I need to do more? Like, or are you pretty like, you kind of got the lid on it pretty well at this point in your career when it comes to knowing when a project is finished and when it's good to go?
I am a huge fan, not to talk about the question before, but always kind of letting whatever happen. I feel like some of the best performances aren't perfect, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like, I just, you know, now, you know, something's obviously off, but like, if it happens and it's cool, then that's good for me. You know, this record, there wasn't a whole lot of, like, a lot of those songs, if not all of them, were all one track vocals, one take. These were live performances. Like, I wasn't back in the booth, like, singing over, like, my tracks, you, yeah, know? Like, it was all right there. It's a pretty, I've always appreciated performers taking that into the studio, vice versa, like that same level of, I don't know what you call it, professionalism. I don't know, mm-hmm, but just knowing your parts, knowing your music, you know, and yep, yeah, I don't know. So as far as the song ever being done, I mean, the songs are done, you know,
yep,
it's like they came out the way they were supposed to into the world.
Yep.
You know, most of my hands were off, which is good.
Yeah.
You know,
so I mean, that's refreshing to hear, like, especially nowadays with everything like in the music. Like, I had a Tommy Prine I was talking to, the same question.
He's incredible, by the way.
Oh, yeah, he is. Great guy, too. And yeah, I'm sure. And he was talking about kind of the same way you are. It's like, it's done. Like, you kind of do have to just like let it go. Like, mm-hmm, like how you were saying. And it's kind of refreshing to hear that in the way the music industry, I guess, is today. Not like with the social media stuff, you have to make all these TikToks, you know, all these younger artists, mm-hmm, and everything. And I feel like, I don't mean for this to sound bad. I mean it in a good way, but like the keep it simple, stupid method kind of, mm-hmm, right? Like, you want to, mm-hmm, do what you can do. And when it's done for you or complete for you, I feel like that's when you kind of like, all right, we're good to go. And then in your case, like with Shooter, then Shooter comes in and does what he needs to do. I don't know. That whole process is pretty interesting to me. And it seems like it could, sometimes artists might be getting in their own way when it comes to like making stuff. I don't know. I'm just rambling now, but that's kind of,
no.
Yeah.
I get what you're saying. I feel like there's a sense of, you find, sense of like comfort within yourself, and you're not, mm-hmm, you know, it's just like at some point you got to be, give yourself a break. You got to be like, okay, this is just who you are.
Yeah.
Either accept it and move on, or, you know, and I guess the older I get, I'm like, man, this is the way I sound. Mm-hmm. This is the way I look. It's, you know, like, yep, who cares? You know, yep, I don't. You know,
right, that's all that matters, really. I mean, whatever. Yeah. And it's just, it's kind of funny how that all works out. And when you do look back on all your records, like up to now, and I think I kind of asked this question before, but if you could harp on a little bit more, do you ever look back like and see where you might have changed in sound a bit or experimented with something else? Or do you look back at it as like a whole, this is me, this is just how I've always been? Or do you look at it in like eras, I guess? Like, I sounded like this on the first album, sounded like this on the second album. Or do you even look that deeply into it? You probably don't.
You know, I always try to like keep the same mindset as I like, because when Ohio Kentucky was, when it came out, like that's just what I was at the time, you know. Yeah. Like, and Ties of Blood is the same. Like Ties of Blood, I you know, is a lot about my family in the early years of me trying to move forward at, you know, I got started a little late, you know what I'm saying? So it's, yeah, like, you know, getting a family and trying to deal with that. And then, you know, after Ties of Blood, I found myself traveling a lot more, like being on the road. And so that's kind of like what Goodbye LA, yeah, was just me like trying to do music, you know, and while traveling. And then my decades is kind of like, you know, just the culmination of everything from, yeah, that point up to this point. And it's just, you know.
Yeah. And I feel like Goodbye LA, like how you mentioned that, like that was kind of a cool, like this is something different. I don't know what it is. I'm not a professional musician, so I don't have the vernacular down, but there's like, I don't know, just the aesthetic of it, the way it was recorded, maybe. I don't know. It was a cool like change of pace in a way. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm not a professional.
Yeah, you're right. I remember I had a breakthrough with just like writing, you know, and I know this is silly, but we had a show in California, and we have a rule in our tour van that we don't say nothing about the people or the club until we're 2 miles down the road with the windows up, you know?
Right. Yeah.
And then we notice all these like pretty girls coming out, and you know, it's LA, it's beautiful out there. Everything's beautiful. And we were talking about how beautiful the women are, you know? And one of the guys in the van said, yeah, but they don't want to have babies, you know, just, yeah, laughing. You're just cutting up. And I was like, damn, that is killer, you know?
Yeah.
And so I started writing that, and we were working our way down to Austin to cut some demos with Jonathan. And I had written that song, Goodbye LA, on the way down to Jonathan's. And it was just, you know, a simple, fun idea. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to write about whatever. Like, yeah. And that's such a freeing place to find yourself, because I think it's easy for me as a easily influenced person, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, if it's got a cool package, dude, or it looks, yeah, like they put, you know, like it says like turmeric on it or something, I'm like, oh, that's probably good for you. I'm gonna, you know, I'm an idiot. And I don't know. It's just, I kind of lost my place, but I was just, I just was like, you know what? I'm gonna sing about whatever. And once you figure that out, it's just opens everything up. And then, yeah, what also I didn't tell you about, that initial time, Angela asked me about working with Shooter. I'd kind of, you know, kind of at that moment was like, you know what? I'm not going to do this music thing the way I've been doing it. You, mm-hmm, know, I was like, I'm just going to start saying no to everything and just pick the things I want. And, you know, and then just kind of like the door started opening.
Yeah.
So it's like, once you kind of like, I don't know, I didn't give up. I just you know, something happened, like a switch flipped inside my brain. And it's kind of like the same thing with songwriting. It's just like once that switch flips, like you, things happen, you know?
Yeah. And it's interesting what triggers that. And maybe like people like, you know, maybe that's something that no one ever finds out, like that switch to flip. And maybe it's just where you are in your career, like whenever that may be. And I was kind of wanting to go off that a little bit more with, like I said, Christina was on a couple of days ago, and we were talking about the same way with her record that came out not too well back in February. It was the same deal. Like, I look a lot at Goodbye LA, but also with Decades. It's, I feel like with albums, at least the way I listen to them, I get a sense of like with each record there, it's like a certain time and like a certain place when I listen to these things. Like when I listen to Goodbye LA, it's like I picture like a freewheeling going down the road kind of thing. Like we're on the road kind of deal. And like Decades like is a whole nother feeling. And I'm wondering if that's kind of how you listen to music, or you consider your own stuff. Like, this is a certain time in my life. This is a certain place, a certain culture, anything like that. Like, do you ever get that feeling when you like separate your releases and stuff?
No, I don't listen to my music in that kind of way, I don't think. Mm-hmm. You know, the older I get, the less I go back and listen, you know? You know, I'm always curious, like, sounds and stuff like that. Like, I want to hear it and see if I like it, you know, or see if I still like it. And usually if you listen to, like, if you space the recordings out and, like, listen to them every now and then, you're like, oh, this is pretty good, you know. But if you're constantly in your ear about what you're doing, it's just, like, everything always sounds terrible, you know. Right, so it's like, it's just, I don't really, I don't go back and reminisce, or not like I do with a song like, you know, Def Leppard, like Pour Some Sugar on Me when I was a kid, you know. And when I was a kid, that song was legit, or, you know, so
don't find yourself looking back too much on it, which is probably like a good thing, right? You just keep going to the next.
You just, humans change, you know.
Right. So Jeremy, dude, thanks a lot for hopping
on.
I love talking about the record, but before we go, I know obviously you just dropped Decades, so I don't know what your whole recording thing you're writing, I don't know what you're up to. So if we could have anything to look forward to, like maybe new music or shows coming up. I know it's gearing towards the end of the year, so you might be winding down a bit, but is there anything coming up?
No, and it's awesome, dude. I'm just chilling for a couple months. It's winter time. I hate traveling in the winter, dude. It's not fun. You step out of the van and a couple feet of snow, rain.
It's just bad, like, enough crossing the bridge in the Cincinnati. Like, I don't even want to do that.
I'm just going to hang out in Southgate, dude. So, you know.
For sure.
I'll be here. Yeah.
Right on, man. But, Jeremy, it's always a pleasure, dude. Thanks for hopping on. People could find you, I guess, just Jerry Pennell everywhere on Instagram, website, just Jeremy Pennell.
The internet. Yeah, all that stuff.
Yep, Google and he'll pop up. You guys make sure to do that. If you haven't yet, listen to Jeremy's stuff. It's some of the best shit out there, in my opinion. And y'all make sure to check out Ray's Rowdy, Rowdy Alternative 2. We're on everything. Google us as well, and we'll pop up. So thanks, everyone, for listening. Jeremy, thanks for hopping on. That was a lot of fun, and we'll see you guys next time. My boots look good on your bed. And I bet you can do some crazy things with those hips. You've been turning me on all night, so why don't you and I run and tell your friends who's gonna take you home tonight? Try.